You want me to go ahead and hit share screen at this point?
No, you can't. You can hold off because she'll do the intro and everything first. So. Okay. Oh, there you've got Mac Pearl is in the attendee list there, Meg. I don't know if you see that or not. So that is good.
No, I don't. Oh, good. We've got more participants in it. I'll just jump out.
All right, I think we are ready.
Wilson, are we recording?
We are.
Good morning, I'm Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020, about 9 a.m. We have just one item on the agenda. This is the Doshal ADU, it's a request for CUP for an accessory dwelling unit, matter number 19-05147. We're holding a remote hearing today. The procedures are pretty much the same as if we were live. We'll hear first from the planning department. Planning department will provide a summary of the proposal, then the applicant can present, and then we'll open this up for public comment. Anyone who is present online or who has called in, wish to provide comment, may do so. And then on these remote hearings, I do keep the record open. Typically it's for about a week, just in case there are any technical difficulties, although these have all run pretty smoothly. Are there any procedural questions from anyone? Okay, I think with that, Ms. Sands, are you presenting for the planning department today? You'll need to, yeah, there we go.
For some reason, they want to unmute. Yes, I will be presenting today. Thank you.
If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Meg Sands, planner with the Department of Community Development for over 25 years now. Yes, I do.
So I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits, which would 1 through 32, which I presume includes that 32 would be the PowerPoint. I assume you'd like to have all of those admitted.
Yes, I would, please. Thank you. And just a point of reference, exhibit 31 is a revision to a memo from Candy Vickery that was revised slightly. And there have been adjustments that were already in the staff report with regard to a condition, condition 25.
The current
it is reflecting the correct condition.
Okay. And the conditions that are in the current staff report, are those, do I need to adjust any of those, or are those the current proposed conditions?
They are the current proposed conditions.
Okay. All right.
So I'll go ahead and share my screen now. Well, it's not quite ready. Host has to give me permission. It's still saying that the host is disabled participant screen sharing.
Uh-oh. Well, let me see if I can fix that real quick here. Sorry about that.
I would like to go ahead and just maybe give a brief indication of what the request is. It is to construct a 900 square foot accessory dwelling unit, and that's under building permit 19-05145. They've already applied for that. And they also have an existing single family residence under construction on the property now. And that's under building permit 19-05141. And this project has been reviewed for SEPA. A SEPA determination was issued, which is exhibit 19 in the record. There were no appeals to that, so we'll just be hearing the conditional use permit request for the project today.
Go ahead and give that a try, Megan, see if it'll let you share now. There we go.
Okay. So as mentioned, it's the Doshal accessory dwelling unit request today. And just to give you an idea of where we are in the county, you can see that this parcel is right here. It's like the arrow kind of got shifted for some reason, not sure why. And you can see that Dyes Inlet here to the east and Hood Canal to the west. This is State Route Highway 3. And you can access the property off of Newberry Hill Road here that runs east-west.
Meg, if you want to speak up just a tiny bit.
Thank you. It's very hard for me to tell how it's coming through.
Yeah, no problem.
So you can see the parcel highlighted here. And you can see it's in a fairly rural area with trees around a good portion of the perimeter of the property. The critical areas, there are critical areas on the subject property kind of on the southeast corner. And the area of development over here in kind of generally cleared area, although there'll be a little bit additional clearing. But they're quite a distance away from any critical areas, and there's no concern with regards to that. They're well outside any buffer requirements of this fork of Anderson Creek, which is a type F stream. You can see that there are critical aquifer, the entire parcel, as well as the general overall areas in the category one. In the context of developing the property with a residence, there's no concerns with regards to that with the critical aquifer recharge. However, we have conditioned the project, which is standard, to prohibit any activities that can have an impact with regards to critical one aquifer recharge area. This just takes you into the site a little bit more closely. You can see that there are multiple access points or potential access points on this property. And we have a condition in the staff report to address that aspect, specifically conditions 21 and 22. They'll be required to submit a landscape plan with the building permit that's already in. And then with regards to the proposal, they're gonna use the more northerly access point to come into the property. So these other access points, they'll need to scarify and amend the soils and replant with two rows of native evergreen trees to prevent future access. And that will then comply with code requirements with having one access point for an accessory dwelling unit. You can see that the area is zoned rural protection and the general area around it is also of the same zone. This parcel is just slightly over 5 acres. And you can see here from the site plan that they kind of access off of an easement road coming in on the north again. You can see that the proximity to the two structures, this is the single family residence, this is the accessory dwelling unit, are fairly close. There's information in the staff report that indicated from the records that were submitted by the applicant that the distance between the two was roughly 50 to 80 feet. It is closer probably to the 50 foot to kind of reduce impervious surfaces. In either case, it would be well within the 150 foot setback requirement required by code. The accessory dwelling unit is compliant with setbacks. It's over 30 feet from this side yard to the north, and all other setbacks are over 200 feet from other property lines. And again, as I mentioned, you've got the Anderson Creek here and top of slope, and it's well outside of those critical area buffer requirements. In the context of parking requirements that are required, and SFR is required to have a minimum of 3 spaces. They've got at least 2 here next to the attached garage for the structure and another 3 in the circular drive. And there's at least 1 space available to the accessory dwelling unit over here. And taking a look at finding that they're similar in appearance, this kind of gives you the elevations on the single family residence, kind of in a 3D fashion. And then again with the accessory dwelling unit. And they will have a similar type roof, siding, and they'll be painted to match as well. So they will be similar in appearance. When we take a look at the floor plan for the single family residence, we're looking to see whether there's any accessory living quarters within that structure, and there are not. It's basically sleeping, living, sanitation and kitchen for the main residence. And so Of course, there's no accessory living quarters within that. And then when we take a look at the floor plan for the accessory dwelling unit, we're making sure that it's in compliance with the size limitation. Again, it's at 900 square feet. The main residence is over 3,000 square feet, so they are limited to 900, which is what has been proposed. And so we find that consistent with code as well. In the context of who's going to live in the structures, the single family residence will be occupied by the owner of the property once they receive final inspection approval and get their certificate of occupancy on the main residence. And their daughter is going to live, at least initially, in the accessory dwelling unit that you're seeing the floor plan for here. I might just go back to the site plan just to give you a reference point, should you have any questions there. Health District has reviewed this. They have issued a building site application. They did not have any conditions at that's Exhibit 17 in the record. And when the application came in, they determined that this was matching what was in for the approved building site application. So that's all consistent and what we would expect. Clearly, this is not a mobile home or a recreational vehicle. They're proposing stick built, so that's in compliance with the code requirement as well. And the only potential issue really has to do with a single access, and as I've mentioned, we have conditioned that so that they will be removing those others and revegetating to prevent any access from those points. So we don't see that that would be an issue in the future, but that's easily complied with in the context of this project. In evaluating the overall project, we find that the project is consistent with the comprehensive plan, that the proposal complies with or will comply with all requirements of Title 17, which is a zoning code, as well as other provisions of Kitsap County Code that could apply to this type of project through the conditions that we've imposed in the staff report. We find that this proposal will not be detrimental to existing or future uses of the property and the immediate vicinity, and that this proposal is compatible with that vicinity that this is being located in. As a result, the Department of Community Development recommends that the conditional use permit request for the Doshal accessory dwelling unit be approved, subject to the 35 conditions that are outlined in the staff report. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Sands. No, I don't have any questions at this time. Has the applicant called in?
Yeah. Yes, I am here.
Good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
My name is Mac Pearl. I'm the architect for the project.
Do you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to add to the planning department's summary of the proposal?
Not really. It's very complete. The secondary access we always wanted to close because it has a line of sight to a neighbor's house. And the idea of this project is for privacy. So we're fine with those conditions for closing the roads.
Okay. That leads to my next question, is just if you had any questions or concerns with any of the other conditions in there in the staff report.
No, they all seem very standard and it's really what we were doing anyway.
I do not have any questions for the applicant. At this point, we'll open it up for public comment. Is there anyone who has signed in from the public who wish to provide comment on this proposal? Ms. Walston, do you see any hands raised?
I do not. I did allow Peter Dashel. I believe I've promoted him over, so if he would like to speak, he can, but I don't have anyone else that has indicated that they wish to.
Okay. Let the record reflect there's not anyone from the public who wished to provide testimony. But Mr. Dashel, you are the applicant. If there is anything that you wanted to add to what Mr. Pearl, your architect, said, you certainly may do so.
No, it's Mrs. Dashel.
And yeah, if you can state your name, let me swear you in first. If you can state your name for the record.
Hedy Dashel.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
And I'm just here listening. That's all. I have no comment.
Okay. Thank you. So anything, Ms. Sands, anything else from the planning department?
No, I do not have anything further.
Well, this proposal does appear to be consistent with the county's both CU conditional use permit criteria as well as the criteria which are specific to ADUs. However, on these remote hearings, we are keeping the record open for a week just in case there's anyone who wished to provide testimony on the proposal and was somehow unable to sign in. So we'll keep the record open through close of business on June 30th. That's 5 p.m. Comments should be emailed to Ms. Wolston and she'll forward them on to me. And then I am required to issue a decision within 10 business days at the close of the record, although this is a pretty straightforward proposal, and I suspect the decision will be out within a few days of the close of the record. Are there any procedural questions from anyone?
Not from me.
Okay. All right. And Ms. Wolston, is there anything else that I need to address this morning?
No, I believe you covered everything.
All right. Well, thank you all for your participation this morning. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.